If you have a Bible with you, either one with pages or a Bible app on a phone, join me in the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Does anyone here know the very first verse of the Bible? Like by heart, like you know it. Okay, say it out loud. Just. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the story that God is speaking in the Bible begins with God making a heaven and an earth. That's how the story that God is speaking in the Bible, it's how it begins. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, and see how the story that God is speaking in the Bible ends. The Apostle John says this. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So John sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first ones had passed away, and the sea was no more. "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will there be any grieving or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" So the story that God is speaking in the Bible begins with God making a heaven and an earth, and it ends with God making a new one. And when we were together a few weeks ago, as we've been going through this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, we were in Revelation chapter 20, and Revelation chapter 20 revealed to us that there are two destinies. You will be in one of two destinies when this life is over. The first destiny that Revelation chapter 20 described for us is that destiny where you will be ruling alongside King Jesus in heaven. So the first destiny is heaven. The second destiny is the lake of fire. And the last two chapters of Revelation describe that destiny of heaven. And actually, that is the special Bible word for the kids today, is the word heaven. So kids, every time you hear the word heaven, all right, keep a tally, or every time we read it in the Bible, keep a tally of how many times you hear it or you see it. And at the end of our gathering this morning, come up to me and you can get a prize from this glorious prize box. All right, or if you'd rather draw a picture, you can do that. Bring that up at the end and we'll also allow you to pick a prize from the prize box. So today's special Bible word, the word for the kids is heaven. And I just wonder, when's the last time you thought about heaven? When's the last time you thought about heaven? I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just everybody close your eyes. And I want you to imagine heaven. Just imagine heaven. What do you see? What's the air feel like? What sounds do you hear? What's it smell like in heaven? What images do you see? And if there's food, what's the food like? And as you imagine heaven, who's there? Who's there? Imagine heaven. You can open your eyes. Just take 1 minute with the people around you. And share, as you imagined heaven, what came to mind. Go. When I was a freshman or sophomore in high school, my family, we were somewhat of a musical family, and we would go and give concerts at churches in central, north central Ohio. And so much so that we actually recorded the Jones Family Concert album. You can see it there. Remember, I'm a freshman, sophomore in high school doing this. All right, public school, these were not some great memories for me in my life, right? But as we would go and travel, I did get one solo in the whole thing, right? And kind of interesting, but the solo, what the title of the song was called Thinking About Home. All right, you're not going to find this on Spotify anywhere, all right? So Thinking About Home, and it was kind of funny. Here's I'm a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid singing a song about going to heaven, right? And to be honest with you, I never really gave going to heaven much thought as a freshman or sophomore in high school. It just didn't. But it was a song that we sang, right? One of the songs I would sing with the family. We'd go around. And if I continue to be honest with you, I'll say this. I still don't think all that much about heaven. I just don't. And there's, I'm sure, tons of reasons why. But I'll tell you this, that as I begin to dig into the last two chapters of Revelation, I've come to understand that thinking about home or thinking about heaven is something that I need to do a lot more of. And I would suggest, if you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, so do you. Because as I've been learning, thinking about heaven has way more to do than just learning about what our destiny as a follower of Jesus is going to be like. What I'm learning is that thinking about heaven makes a huge difference on how I follow Jesus here. An incredible difference on how I follow Jesus here on earth. And this is so important. I've come to understand and believe, as I've been studying this, that this is so important that I really want to take a few Sunday gatherings here to just talk and teach on heaven. Because it's so critical. It is so crucial. And so this morning, we're going to kind of press pause on digging into Revelation chapter 21 this morning. And I kind of want to step back a little bit. And I want us to look at a lot of different scriptures this morning, because I want you to see that God's heart for you is that you would think about heaven. Like, God desires you to think about being with him in heaven. Like, that's his heart. And I would just say most of us maybe didn't even give heaven a thought this week. But we should, especially if we're followers of Jesus. And so I just want to unpack some reasons why I think and why I see in Scripture that God's heart for you is to think about heaven. And the first reason why I think God desires us to think about heaven comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, join me in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, 11. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And it's really important, because I don't know about you, but growing up I only thought of heaven as just this destiny, which it is, but never really gave much thought of how it could impact or should impact how I follow Jesus here. And I hope that as we see this today, that you will. You'll see the importance of thinking about heaven more. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. The writer says, he, meaning God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And also he, God, has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And it's that little phrase that he says, and God has put eternity into your heart, which means that God created you with a longing to be with him in life beyond this one. Like, that's what it's meaning, eternity. God has put eternity. There's this longing, there's this thought, you have, is there more to this life? Why do you think that? Because God put that inside you. That's a longing that God has placed inside you to think, is there more to this than just this life. Absolutely. Where's that come from? Where's that idea, that thought come from? Comes from God. God put it inside you because God desires you so much to be with him forever in life, not just this one, but in the life beyond this one, so much so that he put that longing and desire and wired it inside you. You were created to long for and think about heaven. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of like Adam and Eve in the garden and how it says in the first three chapters are that God walked and talked with them. They had this relationship with God in the garden, like God created humanity to dwell and be with him. That God made us that way. He created humanity to long for and to dwell with him. And so when it says that he put eternity in our hearts, God made you with a desire to experience living and walking with him forever, not just while you're here, but beyond here. C.S. Lewis, the author of Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, he says this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." Absolutely. He understands Ecclesiastes 3:11, that God created you with a longing to be with him in life beyond this one. And so why should you think about heaven? Because you were created to. You were created to long for and think about heaven. Go to Psalm chapter 137. Psalm 137. We'll read verses 1 through 6. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6. It says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept." When did they weep? When we remembered home. When we remembered Zion, they said. Psalm 137, verse 2. "On the trees, the willow trees, there we hung our harps. For there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of the songs from your home." And their response is, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." This is a song that God's people of old had written. They'd been kidnapped from their hometown, Jerusalem, and they've been extradited to Babylon there to become slaves. And so here they are enslaved in a foreign country. And what are they doing? They're remembering home. They're longing for the city that was waiting for them, their homeland. And we see this theme, if you read scripture, you see a theme of God's people remembering home. And as we read in Revelation chapter 21, we read that God's desire, if we're God's people today, we too, like God's people of old, are longing for a new city, a new Jerusalem, that it said. In the same way that God's people of old longed for their home city of Jerusalem, the physical city of Jerusalem, we look forward and long for a new city of Jerusalem. Why? Because that's home for you if you're a follower of Jesus. That's home for me. And so when we pause to think about heaven, we are remembering where our home really is. And we're remembering what really matters. The Apostle Paul taught on this in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. If you'll go there, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And in his letter to this church, he says this in verse 20, and he's talking to followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. He says, "But our citizenship is where? In where? In heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." This is revolutionary thinking that Paul is reminding the churches. Your citizenship, your true citizenship, the moment Jesus Christ rescued you out of your sin and saved you through your faith in him and what he did for you on the cross and 3 days later, that immediately you received a new birth certificate from the courts of heaven saying that this person belongs here with me. And that's what he's saying. Your home is really heaven. That's, you are a citizen of heaven. John Taylor and I were just talking about that at the very beginning, before this, and he had no idea we were talking about that today. And I'm like, this is exactly what God is saying. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, your citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is your home. So when you think about heaven, you're remembering where your home really is and remembering what really matters. So I want you to, again, close your eyes. I want you to imagine for the past 4 weeks you have been camping in the forest, and as you've been camping in the forest, you've experienced rainstorms, thunderstorms, a whole week of snow, wind, hail. I mean, every kind of weather you could possibly imagine you experienced. But now you're going home. I want you to feel the anticipation of sleeping in your own bed. It's been rough the past 4 weeks. You've had some sunny days, but it's been rough. But now you're going home. No more waterlogged luggage. No more trying to bathe in a freezing cold stream. You're going home. Can you imagine the feeling of what that would be like to go home? It's so, so good, right? You can open your eyes. That's what we should feel when we think about home. Because even though we're here, this is not home. This is not your home if you are a follower of King Jesus. Jesus said, listen, you need to live in a way where you are building treasures in heaven, not here. You need to be building your treasure in heaven, not here. A week or so ago, Kate and I went to a local store to just buy some like fall, autumn decorative items for the house. Now, I want you to imagine that Kate and I go into the store, we buy some plants, a mum, you know, and some things to decorate our house with, and we buy them, and then we start decorating the store with the things that the store already had. You'd be like, that's a little odd, right? Why would you do that? No, we invested our time and our lives in something that we could bring with us home. And I just wonder how many of us actually live in a way like we're buying things in the store and then just decorating the store. You say, well, then what can I take to heaven with me? What can you take? People. People. Someone once said the only thing you're ever going to be able to take to heaven with you is someone else. It's people. And so if I replayed your life for the past 6 months, if I just... we put it on screen and we replayed your life for the past 6 months and we saw how you spent your money, how you invested your time, your relationships. What would it reveal about where you believe home really is? And it's not that God doesn't give us things to enjoy here. Those are gifts of grace. But I just wonder, have we begun, church, to really miss the reality that this is not home? Heaven is home. And so when you start thinking about heaven, you're reminded, wait a second, this isn't home, heaven is, and it reminds you of what really, really matters. What really matters. Third reason why God wants us to think about heaven more comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Another one of Paul, the Apostle Paul's letters, and he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What's the Apostle Paul saying here? He says, if you're a Christian, if you've been raised with Christ, you've surrendered your life to Jesus, he says, seek. Seek the things that are above. That's in the imperative. And so for my English grammar people, whatever, imperative is what? It's a command. So this is not an option as a follower of Jesus. Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, is saying, if you're a follower of King Jesus, you need to be thinking about where Christ is. Well, where's Christ? He tells us he's seated at the right hand of God. He's in heaven. And then verse 2, set your minds. Same thing, it's in the imperative. It's a command. This is not an option for us as God's people. I'll think about heaven occasionally. No, Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, is looking at the church and he's saying, no, I want this for you. I want you to set your thoughts and your mind and your heart on things above where Christ is. I want you to be thinking about heaven. And it's in this present tense mood, which means that this is something that Jesus wants you to keep doing. Don't just do it once. He's like, no, keep thinking about heaven. Keep doing that. It's so good for you. Because whatever Jesus would command of us to do, it's for our good and for his glory. So it's good for you and good for me to think about heaven. That's why he commanded it to us. So another reason why we should be thinking about heaven is because Jesus commands us as his followers to think about heaven. But flowing out of this is another reason why we should think about heaven. Another reason is because thinking about heaven impacts how you live your life for Jesus here. It impacts how you live your life for Jesus here. Right after verses 1 through 4, what's he say next in verse 5? Put to death, therefore. And as we've talked about, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, find out what it's there for. Right? And so Paul's saying, listen, because you have new life in Christ, and your citizenship is in heaven, and you're thinking about home, and you're thinking about where Christ is, that's going to impact how you view sin. It's going to impact how you view sexuality. It's going to impact how you see relationships, how you see purity, how you respond. It's going to have so much of an impact on how you live your life here for Jesus. And he says that, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and after the image of its creator. Scroll down to verse 12. Put on then, because you're a citizen of heaven, and because now you're seeing things differently, you have a new view of the world and life. Here's what it looks like to be someone who's a citizen of heaven. God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all else, you got to put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, he says in verse 15. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you see what Paul is doing here? He establishes at the very beginning of this chapter your identity in Christ. This is who you are in Christ. And so you need to be thinking about where your home really is. You need to be really thinking about remembering who you are in Christ. You're a citizen of heaven. And as you begin to think about your relationship with Christ and that you are now identified with Christ and home is in heaven, it's going to impact how you view the world. It's going to impact how you view maybe the entertainment choices you choose. It's going to impact how you work through this relationship. It's going to have so much impact. And so thinking about heaven is so crucial because it impacts how you follow Jesus here. It's not just about learning about our eternal destiny. It's about learning about who we really are in Christ and where home is and what really matters. And that will impact how you live for Jesus here. And we see this in other parts of Scripture. We won't look at this for the sake of time, but Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about Abraham and Sarah. And I never really thought about this, but as you read that passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 16, I encourage you to read it later. It talks about how Abraham thought about heaven. It says he thought about his heavenly home are the exact words. And as he would think about his heavenly home, it moved him to stay loyal and faithful to God's promise that he had given him. So when you think about your heavenly home, when you think about home, think about heaven, it impacts. You know what? This isn't all there is. There is more. I can follow Jesus, stay faithful to him, because this is not home. I'm just camping out here for a little while. I eventually will be going home, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 tells us the whole purpose of that book. Christians are struggling in the first century. They're living in an environment and a culture which doesn't like Jesus. And they're being persecuted and they're suffering for it. And so what does Jesus give those group of people? He gives them a vision of heaven. The whole book of Revelation is a vision, a tour inside heaven with Jesus on the throne. And so he knows that as you think about heaven, it will impact how you live for Jesus here. It will give you encouragement you need to stay faithful and loyal to Jesus when following Jesus is difficult here. Because it is. Another reason why thinking about heaven is important and crucial is because it comforts the troubled heart. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John 14. Jesus has just spoken to his disciples. He's just had dinner with his disciples. And in his conversation with his disciples, he's told them that one of them is going to betray him and that he is about to depart to a place where they can't follow him, at least not for now. Can you imagine how this would have wrecked their hearts for a while? You mean, wait a second, one of us is going to betray you? Is it me? Who is it? Let's knock him off. So he doesn't do it. Like, you can imagine there's a restlessness now in the room. Their hearts are restless. There's maybe confusion. And then he tells them, and I'm going to go to a place and you can't follow me there. What? We followed you for 3 years. You're going to leave? No, you can't do that. What are you doing? He's like, no. And so he can sense that their hearts are troubled. And the word troubled, and look at chapter 14, verse 1. First thing Jesus says, he says to these disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Troubled. And the word troubled there means like agitated, disturbed. Imagine you get up early in the morning for a quiet moment. Just a quiet moment. You have your coffee sitting on the coffee table. It's hot. You're just letting it still. The kids aren't up yet, or so you thought. Right? And it just still. It's just laying there, or it's just sitting there. No disturbance. And then one of the little children, mommy, daddy, poof, bumps the coffee table, disturbs the coffee, and it goes everywhere. That's literally what this word means. Not talking about coffee, but it's talking about establishing, right? Disturbing the peace. Their hearts have been disturbed. And now they're restless, they're anxious, they're confused, maybe filled with fear. And what does Jesus say to comfort them? He says, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Their hearts are restless. They're filled potentially with fear and anxiety, and they're agitated and disturbed. And what does Jesus tell them to do? Think about heaven. That I am there, and while I'm there, I'm getting it all ready for you. He says, you know what will trouble or what will comfort your troubled heart? Is thinking about heaven. What do you do when your heart gets bumped? When it gets bumped with the kinds of things that happen in life. Maybe there's some persecution, some suffering, some confusion, some fear. Life isn't really making sense to you. God maybe not really be making much sense to you. What do you do when your heart gets bumped? Jesus says, just pause for a moment and remember home. Think about heaven, because thinking about heaven comforts the troubled heart. And as I was learning this week, I thought, well, how do I do that? What's a practical way to do that? So I just put a playlist together on Spotify. 2.5 hours, every song has to deal with heaven. If you'd like a copy of that playlist, let me know and I'll send it to you, okay? So this week, as I've been learning, I just have been listening to this, and it's true. Like, as I think about going home and think about heaven, I'm like, it does remind me of what really matters in life. It reminds me, wait a second. It reminds me of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for me. And Jesus says, listen, when your heart gets bumped, when it's troubled, when it's filled with fear, when it's restless, think about heaven. Paul taught that, right? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, he said, listen, when a loved one passes away, a loved one who is right with Jesus, yes, we grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Why? Because we have the guarantee that we will see them again. The guarantee. He says, that's why you can grieve, but you don't have to grieve without hope. Because heaven comforts a troubled heart. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, same conversation with his disciples. Another reason to think about heaven is this. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We've already seen that Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, has commanded us as his followers to think about heaven. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. Set your mind on things. Jesus says, so when you're doing that, you're loving me. Thinking about heaven is worship. It's an opportunity for you, for us as God's people, to express our love back to Jesus. Because Jesus has said, this is an optional. This is not an option. I want you to think about heaven. It's good for you to think about heaven. And when we do, not only is it good for us, but Jesus receives glory. He receives glory from it all. Why? Last reason. Because when we think about heaven, it leads us to think about Jesus. Because he's the only way you get there. When you're thinking about heaven, it leads you to think about Jesus because he is the only way to get there. That's what he said at the very beginning of this chapter, in chapter 14 of John, verses 4 through 6. In that conversation, he says, okay, so I want you to think about heaven, and you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes into relationship with me, the Father, the Holy Spirit, except through me, he says. No one comes into relationship with the Father except through me. So when we think about heaven, it leads you to think about Jesus, because Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, through his blood poured out on that cross, and through him conquering death, through resurrecting out of that tomb 3 days later, is the way. Belief in that is the way you and I experience home. And being with him forever there. There's lots of other reasons why I think God desires us to live or to think about heaven. But one of them is thinking about heaven leads us to think about Jesus, because he is the only way you get there. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if anyone here is maybe planning to fly home for the holidays or whatever, maybe. But I was thinking about, you know, if you plan a trip home, let's say you're not from here and you're going to head overseas or whatever to go visit your family at Christmas time or Thanksgiving. Man, you plan the trip, you're pumped, you cannot wait. All right, and you know you're going home, and thinking about going home gets you through today. It's like, okay, it's just right. Okay, I've got this trip. But you know you got to get on the plane, right? And in order to get on the plane, you got to have a ticket. You got to have a ticket. And so thinking about going home for the holidays at some point gets you to think about that ticket to make sure you have it. Because the only way you can go home is to make sure you have the ticket. Make sense? Thinking about heaven leads us to think about Jesus, because he's the only way we get there. Without him, there is no heaven. And without him, there is no heaven for you. And so the question everyone in this room must be asking is, will I be there? Is heaven my home? And Jesus says, well, you can know for sure that heaven is your home. Are you believing me, he says? Are you believing that I came for you and died on the cross, took the punishment that you deserve for your sins so you wouldn't have to? So much so because I have put eternity in your heart. I long for you to be with me, not just now, but for all time. And the only way to experience heaven is to put your faith and surrender into Jesus and Jesus alone and what he did for you. And so it's important. I hope we've seen that God's heart is for us to be thinking about heaven. So the question is, what now? Right? What are you going to do? What do we need to do? How can you begin to think more about heaven in the coming days? Could we share a little bit? Just what are some of the things? What are some ways that maybe we can begin to think more about heaven? What are some of the things you guys shared? Just let's learn from one another this morning. Yes. Oh, the playlist. Yes. You can use my playlist or make your own, right, of heaven. That's awesome. Yes, I'm telling you, it's been really awesome to just listen to the music and think about heaven. Yeah, John. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's the other destiny, right? Yep. That's good. What else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? Put some post-its on your mirror, right? Just verses of scripture that talk about heaven, whatever it might be. Anybody else? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Just don't let the boss walk by. Yeah. No, it's good. What else? Anything else? Yeah. Yep. That little nudge the Spirit puts in you to maybe go talk to that neighbor, talk to that person at work. I think that happens because God has put eternity in your heart. Right? And the only thing you can take with you are people. Right? That little nudge to just say hi, to love that person. It's a way you can think about heaven and think about their destiny. Right? And God's love for them. What else? Anything else? Yeah. 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 Making it more a part of our conversation. You know, when I was that freshman, sophomore in high school singing, thinking about home, I didn't know what I was singing. I really didn't. It was just a song. But as I've gotten older and spending more time with Jesus and learning more from his word, I've begun to understand just how really important it is to think about heaven, not just as a destiny, but thinking about heaven as an opportunity for me to reflect the love of Jesus here. Because as we've learned, thinking about heaven impacts how you live your life for Jesus here, right? It's an opportunity to give worship to Jesus. And he created us to think about heaven because he longs for us to be with him.